a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But the righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, the nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. This is the word of God.
So it was a few years ago, around Christmas time. Excuse me one second. A few years ago, I decided that I wanted to have my family, you know, have an evening of just awesome Christmas, you know, just the way I always pictured it. Probably the way I thought it was when they were little, you know, my kids, but now they were a little older in high school. But I wanted us to have like an evening around the tree, you know, just with the hot chocolate, and maybe watch a Christmas movie like we used to always do, you know, and just hang out and just have this beautiful, peaceful Christmas evening together. Well, with everybody's schedules, you know, and trying to work this thing out and trying to make this thing happen, this evening that I had planned, this beautiful evening of peace and beauty and Christmas, you know, Christmas splendor that I had planned in my mind, it got reduced down to about 3 hours, you know, tops. And people are like trying to get there, and they're on their phones, and they're this and that. And, you know, my evening of peace, man, I tell you, I had it, and I had it over their dead bodies. I mean, I had it by force if necessary. They were going to have this evening of peace. And we did have it. Boy, I was angry too. But you know, oftentimes in life, you know, oftentimes in the big world, we see this thing called peace through strength. It's kind of a thing that nations do together, right? Where one nation is more powerful than all the rest. They have all the cards. They have all the weapons. They have everything. And they kind of enforce a peace upon everybody else. But we know that peace through strength, even though it works, like it even worked with my family, it's not real peace. At best, it's kind of an enforced truce. You know, and you know that if that peaceful power, that overweening power were to step away, all those factions would come back together fighting each other. So it's not real peace. Real peace still eludes the world in the same way it kind of eludes us sometimes in our own lives, in our own little corners of the world. I mean, we all long for peace. We want to have peace, but sometimes peace is hard to come by. What with all the chaos that's in our individual daily lives, all the chaos that's in the world. And then sometimes peace is hard to come by because all those things that are so, you know, rancorous, and all the conflicts and all the problems on the outside are really reflections of what's inside us. We have all kinds of conflicts too. Competing wants, competing desires. We have lusts that drive us to do things that we don't want to do. We have all kinds of competing factions within our very selves that we're trying to keep back, keep apart from each other, trying to enforce a kind of peace. Now, we can do that. Like nations, we can enforce a kind of peace through strength by our own wills. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be nice if we had within us a real peace, a true peace, a kind of peace that gets at the root of the discord that's within us, a real peace that is as beautiful and as unnatural as a lion lying down with a lamb. That's the kind of peace that Isaiah sees in his vision that we heard today in this passage. He sees this kind of peace coming to the world. And he sees it coming with this Messiah, this King, this Savior who would come and establish this kind of peace that doesn't just happen because one group is defeating another group. It comes because the whole way of the world has been turned upside down, because the whole nature of life has been changed, has been transformed. He sees this time coming with this Messiah when the wolf will lie down with the lamb, when the leopard will lie down with the goat, when the calf and the lion and the yearling will be together in this vision. In this vision of this peaceful world, the very nature of things has changed. These animals who always exploited each other and lived in fear of each other are now the perfect picture of repose and trust and peace. It's a beautiful picture. And it's a compelling picture. And it's so jarring because it is so unnatural. But it's compelling. And it was compelling to the people of Israel who first heard those words. They longed for that kind of peace as keenly as we long for it. Maybe even more, because they were actually in the throes of war and of disruption and of fear. They were living through it. They longed for peace. And you know, God had laid in their hearts this kind of desire for peace, this vision for peace. It's one of the many things that God had given to his people, the people that he had taken out of slavery in Egypt and brought into this new land, his chosen people. He'd given them blessings, blessings like a vision for peace, but also blessings like the ability to fight the enemies that were around them that wanted to destroy them. He gave them the ability to govern themselves. He gave them a time where they could govern themselves. He gave them a social and a moral code by which they could run their nation with justice and with equity. So God gave them a desire for peace. He also gave them a framework, a pathway for achieving that kind of peace, a measure of peace in their nation. But best of all, God gave them a singular vision, an insight into who he was. His people, alone among all of the people of the nations, understood the real nature of God. That God was one. That God was personal. That God cared for people. This was astounding. That God cared for people and actually loved people. The people, the Hebrew people, had been given this great gift of insight to know that God is a God of love and of order and of peace. So God was grooming his people for peace. Of course, being people, like all of us, the Hebrew people had a bent towards disorder. They had a bent towards conflict. And they gave in to their natures, often, with conflict between themselves, bogged down with wars against other nations, with even perpetrating injustice against each other. So they didn't live up always to God's vision for peace, but that vision persisted, and they longed for it. And along with Isaiah, they longed for this day when God's way would flood the earth, and there would be a flood of peace when this Messiah would come. Now, those of us who live on this side of Christmas, this side of history, we know that that Messiah has come. That Messiah has come. But it doesn't take a lot to look around at the world and see that this radical kind of peace that turns the world upside down has not really erupted throughout the whole world. But we also know, and we can testify to, and we do believe, and we do see that Jesus comes, and Jesus comes into individual hearts, Jesus comes into individual lives, and brings that kind of peace. He brings his peace one individual at a time, and that peace is breaking out around the whole world, wherever people open their arms and accept Jesus. That peace comes. Jesus comes into our lives the same way that Isaiah visioned the Messiah coming, with weapons of the Spirit that produce real peace. Weapons like the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of truth, and the spirit of a real fear and a reverence for God. These are the weapons that Jesus comes when he comes into our hearts to beat back those things that would keep us from finding real peace. Real peace. Peace is unnatural as a lion lying down with a lamb. Jesus comes into our hearts and into our individual lives with his wisdom. His wisdom that sort of beats back the distortions that are the cause of so much discord in our lives and in the world. What I mean by that is distortions in the way that we see ourselves and our importance and our rights. Distortions in the way that we see other people and their importance and their rights. These are the things that make us so angry when things don't go our way, when our plans don't work out, when we become full of fear that anything will ever work out for us. These distortions about who we are. The wisdom of Jesus beats those distortions back and replaces them with a real trust in God. A real trust. So when things aren't going so well, when our plans aren't working out, Jesus' wisdom says, lay back and wait on the Lord. We can trust in him. He'll bring us that peace. And that peace comes as a kind of confidence that God's got us, that God has our back. Jesus comes wielding that wisdom. He also comes with truth. He comes wielding the truth, the scripture says, like a rod with which he beats down deception. And the two major deceptions that cause so much distortion or so much discord in our lives, the big deceptions, one that if there is a God at all, he doesn't care about us and doesn't love us. And the other deception, that we can be our own gods and create our own rules. Well, that first deception is so deadly. It produces in us that feeling of being unworthy uncherished, unloved. And it's such a deception, it's such a lie. And that first deception can do the opposite, can create in us this kind of prideful arrogance where we run roughshod over people and make our way the only way. Both of those deceptions are beaten back by Jesus and his truth. His truth that assures us that we are indeed valuable. We are so valuable that the whole story of Jesus is about how valuable he is, how beautiful he is, but how valuable we are, that he would die for us so that our sins could be forgiven and the way could be opened up to our relationship with God. God who loves us. God who, because of Jesus, doesn't see any inadequacies in us. God with whom we don't have to pretend. A God with whom we don't have to make excuses. We can be honest with God and we can be honest with ourselves about who we really are. And there's a beautiful peace in that. A beautiful peace in the assurance of knowing that this God loves us no matter what. And is for us. So he brings his wisdom. He brings his truth. And just like that Messiah that Isaiah saw coming, Jesus brings this extraordinary reverence and fear of God. Have you ever noticed when you read the Bible, when you read the story in the Gospels, Jesus is 100% obedient to God, even to death. Death on the cross for you and for me. We can never be that perfectly obedient. But Jesus inspires us to try to do our best to have that kind of reverence and fear and obedience for God. Fear in the sense of real worship and real reverence. When we have that kind of reverence for God, we're bound to him. And when we're bound to him, we have a sense of belonging to him. And so much of the discord in our own lives and in the world around us comes from this terrible sense of not having a place, of not belonging in the world, of not having a reason, a purpose to live. And Jesus, by inspiring reverence in us, binding us to God, assures us that we do have a place in God's world, in his universe. We have a reason to be here, and we know where we're going. There's a beautiful peace in that. Jesus comes with his peace, with these weapons that he uses to beat back the distortions and the discord and the deception that crowds in on us. With his truth, with his wisdom, with his reverence for God. He brings these things into our lives. And they work to establish within us a true and a lasting peace. Y'all remember the story in the Bible of the man who Jesus came across, who was conflicted inside. He was filled with demons, the Bible says. Hundreds of demons that were warring against each other. They had pushed him into places, pushed him into violence, pushed him into living alone with no others around him in a cemetery, living among the dead. But Jesus came, and with his wisdom and with his truth and with his power and with his fear of God, banished those demons away. And peace reigned in that man's heart. And the people all around him were amazed. Yeah. Jesus comes to do the same for us. To let peace reign in our hearts. He comes. He comes to us with peace through his strength. Peace. Through his strength. But he does ask of us to muster a little bit of strength on our own. In order to receive that peace through his strength, we need to muster a little bit of strength. Now we might be saying, and I know I say to myself, look, I am prone to believe deceptions. I am prone to conflict. I am prone to all kinds of things that get in the way of my peace. How can I bring much to the party? But thankfully for us, you know, Jesus doesn't ask very much. All he asks is this, that we muster enough strength to lift up our hands in surrender, acknowledging that, yeah, we cannot muster up, we cannot gin up, we cannot create for ourselves the kind of peace that we really long for. Now again, we can try. We can try to exert force, peace through strength within us, kind of suppress all the warring factions, all the warring things that are within us. We can try and do that. But wouldn't it be nice to have a real peace? A real peace that gets at the root of that discord. A real peace that's as unnatural as a lion lying down with a lamb. That's the kind of peace that only Jesus can bring. When we say, oh Lord, I want your peace. I cannot create it on my own. I want your peace. Peace that comes only through strength. His strength. His wisdom. His truth. And a deep and abiding reverence for God. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are grateful today that we can come before you honestly, that we can open our hearts to you honestly, even within that secret place, that we don't need to pretend before you, God, and that you want for us more than anything peace, and that you've sent your Son to bring that peace into our lives. So God, we surrender to you today. We open up our hearts to you today and ask you, oh God, to sort out those factions within us and bring us a true and lasting peace that we can then offer to others all around us in your precious name. Amen.